Please stand and turn toward the center as the light of Christ comes into our presence. During the season of Lent, we have been turning or reorienting ourselves toward that which is holy. As we have said throughout this season, what we pay attention to is what we are formed by. This night, we turn our attention to the suffering of the world, the sacrifice of one who offered his life for the least and the oppressed. We turn our attention so that we might become persons who follow in the way of Jesus, working to bring love and justice to humanity and to this earth. You may be seated. Come and rest, come and listen, lay the fullness of your lives before the Maker. Come and rest, come and listen, lay the fullness of your lives before the Maker. Come and rest, come and listen, lay the fullness of your lives before our Maker. Come and rest, come and listen, lay the fullness of your lives before the Maker. When a community is under threat, when tragedy strikes, when fear seems close, we human beings come together. It is what the disciples and followers of Jesus did that last week of his life. Tensions were high. While we may not be on the verge of crucifixion as Jesus was at that moment, we may feel that in today's world we face threats to goodness, threats to love, to humanity's ability to move into hope. We also recognize that many in this world do face very real violence and oppression and death. Unrest can also take root in one's very being. It may come from a traumatic event in one's life and history. We gather as a community to hold space for pain and to hold the hope of healing. Let us spend this evening connecting with God, with the depths of our true selves, and with each other. Tonight we are going to start with a meal, remembering the last time Jesus ate with his disciples. Then we will embark on a journey, the journey which Jesus took to the cross and his followers to the day of despair and hopelessness. Come and rest, come and listen. May the full within that calls us closer. Come and rest, come and listen. You're invited to sit quietly in the silence now without any expectation of what you ought to be thinking. Don't worry about extraneous sounds, simply let them float in and out of your attention. If you find it difficult to settle your thoughts, contemplate those which are on the PowerPoint. For that which then I thought was right, for that which now I regret, for that which hence I know not what to do. Come and rest. Come and listen. Know that the invitation to Christ's table is open to all, no matter how you might have betrayed or faltered, denied or transgressed. You are invited to the grace that turns us all around. Thanks be to God. Would you turn to hymn number 521? I want Jesus to walk with me. Please stand.
I want Jesus.
You may be seated. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover meal?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and say, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" The disciples did just as he instructed them. They prepared the Passover. That evening, he took his place at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "I assure you that one of you will betray me." Deeply saddened, each one said to him, "I'm not the one, am I, Lord?" He replied, "The one who will betray me is the one who dips his hand with me into this bowl."
Listen to the pain of the world. Listen to the pain of the world. Listen to the pain of the world. Listen. God is weeping. God is
"My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights."
Listen to the pain of the world. Listen to the pain of the world. Listen to the pain of the God is weeping, God is weeping.
Yet it was you who took me from the womb, who kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help.
Listen to the pain of the world. Listen to the pain of the world. Listen to the pain of the world. Listen. God is weeping. God is weeping.
Who is in pain at this moment? What people or what places would you name as those over whom we weep and over whom God weeps? I invite you to take a moment. Name them quietly in your heart and imagine that they might be at the table with us tonight.
When we gather around the table of Jesus Christ, we remember all the times that he gathered with the least and the unlikely around tables in his ministry. He showed us how to be in right relationship with those who are not like us. Especially in Holy Week, we remember that he also modeled a way of being at the table, even and perhaps especially when there is disagreement, betrayal, and denial. He showed us how to be at the table together when not all is right in our world. He invites us to meet him here, where healing begins with grace. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. Us breathing your breath and spirit into our bodies. You love us, embracing us even when we turn away. You are renewing us, calling us to listen to a groaning world, wanting to whisper from your mouth to our ears. You came in human form. You not only spoke words of liberation and love, but you also listened to the least among us. And so as your church, we turn our listening to you and follow by listening to others and responding with care. We remember that last night at the table with the disciples and remember what you invited them to do. And so we offer ourselves to continuing your work in the world. As your body, we proclaim and repeat after me, Christ has died.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your spirit on us, O God, and on these gifts of bread and the cup, uniting us as your people, being your hands and feet, being your love in the world. Meet us here, O God, deep within our souls.
Meet me here, find me in my wanderings. Meet me here, deep within my soul.
And I invite you to pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, as we come to the table of Jesus Christ, we will be sharing the bread and the cup. At that first Last Supper, Jesus shared the bread and the cup as a symbol of his unity with God and with each of his disciples. He denied none of them. It mattered not that they had failed to understand who he was and his purpose for being. It mattered not that each one of them had faltered. It mattered not that they would betray him or deny him or doubt him. He invited all of them to share the oneness created by God. Still today, when we share the bread and cup, it matters not what we have done, who we are, nor who we have been. All are invited to this table. It's prepared by God for all. I want to invite you to come forward for communion tonight, and Layla's going to help me serve. I'll break the bread and give you a piece and then dip it into the cup. If you have an offering that you planned on giving tonight, the offering plates are on either side of us. Do you want to come, please? The body of Christ. I do have gluten-free bread if you are one of the people who needs that. This is the bread of life.
From Matthew 26, 30. Then after singing songs of praise, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Friends, this night we will journey with Jesus from the table to the garden. We will walk with Jesus in his last hours as he is betrayed and denied and abandoned. We will go with him on the way called sorrow. We will go with him to the cross. We will go with him into the tomb. Then when he is entombed, we will journey alone into the silence of the day of hopelessness. As the night and the day grew continually dark for Jesus, we will darken this space through the extinguishing of lights. We will journey to that place Augustine called more inward than our most inward part. Just as the disciples and Jesus himself searched their hearts in that moment of trauma and tragedy, we will be invited to search our own hearts. The scripture will invite us not only to examine ourselves, but also to intercede on behalf of others. It is a journey of finding Jesus in all the moments of our lives and of our world. Scripture and prayer and meditation will connect our lives and the world to the story of God. Tonight we journey from table to tomb to deep grief in the loss of hope. For tonight and tomorrow and the day after, our world will continue to get darker. Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to the disciples, "Stay here while I go and pray over there." When he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, he began to feel sad and anxious. Then he said to them, "I am very sad. It's as if I'm dying. Stay here and keep alert for me." Then he went a short distance farther and fell on his face and prayed, "Abba, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not what I want, but what you want." He came back to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you stay alert 1 hour with me? Stay alert and pray so that you won't give in to temptation. The spirit is eager, but the flesh is weak." Have you ever just wished that the situation that you're in or the pain that you feel could simply be lifted from you, like waking from a bad dream? Jesus knows this pain. Here and now, we pray for those who live in fear of persecution, for who they are, and for the stands they take on the side of the oppressed. And we find the Jesus who felt afraid and alone, and yet offered himself for a higher purpose.
Jesus is betrayed by Judas, Mark 14, verse 43 through 50. Suddenly, while Jesus was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came with a mob carrying swords and clubs. They had been sent by the chief priests, the legal experts, and the elders. His betrayer had given them a sign: "Arrest the man I kiss and take him away under guard." As soon as he got there, Judas said to Jesus, "Rabbi." Then he kissed him. Then they came and grabbed Jesus and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew a sword and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his ear. Jesus responded, "Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me like an outlaw? Day after day, I was with you teaching in the temple. but you didn't arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled. And all his disciples left and ran away. The sting of difficult relationships is something most of us have experienced. Perhaps as children, trust was betrayed by an adult who did not care for us as we needed. Or perhaps as adults, family or spousal relationships crumbled under the weight of addiction, illness, or resentment. Here and now, we pray for the ability to forgive and move on. We pray for the strength of forgiveness. And we find here the Jesus who knew of the betrayal and who broke bread with Judas anyway.
Jesus is condemned to death by the Sanhedrin. Luke 22:66-71. As morning came, the elders of the people, both chief priests and legal experts, came together, and Jesus was brought before their council. They said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." And he answered, "If I tell you, you won't believe. And if I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the human one will be seated on the right side of the power of God." They all said, "Are you God's son then?" And he replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need further testimony? We've heard it from his own lips." Perhaps church has always felt like a welcoming and safe place for you. But there are many in this world who have been harmed as they were cast out. They were denied the right to become religious leaders. They were ostracized and judged or sentenced for who they are. There are also those who have been the victims of religious and clergy abuse. Here and now, we pray for the victims of the world, especially when the violence was done in the name of God. We find that Jesus, whose death was caught up in the entangled political and religious climate of his day, we mourn for those who have been harmed by religious authorities and institutions that work to change this.
Jesus is denied by Peter. From Matthew 26:69-75. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant woman came and said to him, "You were also with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it in front of all of them, saying, "I don't know what you are talking about." When he went over to the gate, another woman saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." With a solemn pledge, he denied it again, saying, "I don't know the man." A short time later, those standing there came and said to Peter, "You must be one of them. The way you talk gives you away." Then he cursed and swore, "I don't know the man." At that very moment, the rooster crowed. Peter remembered Jesus' words, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably. Denial is a powerful coping mechanism when faced with pain that is too difficult to accept. In our weakness and despair, we sometimes turn to denial in order to cope, in order to survive. Here and now, we find the Jesus who knows that we are human and will have moments of denial when circumstances feel impossible. We confess our own denial and pray for forgiveness. And we ask for forgiveness for the times we might have turned our backs on our friends.
Jesus is judged by Pilate, Matthew 27, 11 through 14, and 22 through 24. Jesus was brought before Pilate, the governor. The governor said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "That's what you say." But he didn't answer when the chief priests and elders accused him. Then Pilate said, "Don't you hear the testimony they bring against you?" But he didn't answer, not even a single word. So the governor was greatly amazed. Pilate said to the crowds, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." But he said, "Why? What wrong has he done?" They shouted even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere and that a riot was starting. So he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I'm innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It's your problem." So many people around the world suffer under governments who have washed their hands of the plight of the poor. Money for the weapons of war outweigh money for education, for public assistance, for food and shelter, for at-risk youth, for safety of all the world's citizens. Here and now, we pray for those in government who make decisions that affect people's lives and vow to let our voices be heard. We find Jesus, whose witness on behalf of the oppressed got him killed.
Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns. From John 19, verses 1 through 3. Then Pilate had Jesus taken and whipped. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and dressed him in a purple robe. Over and over they went up to him and said, "Greetings, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Unimaginable numbers of people are victims of abuse. Whether physical, sexual, emotional, or verbal, the scars are the same and they last a lifetime. We mourn for those who are victims of abuse. Here and now, we pray for healing for those who have endured violence inflicted on body, mind, and spirit. We find the Jesus who knew this pain, yet also knows the depth of pain inside perpetrators that drive them to commit such atrocities.
John chapter 19, verses 15 to 17. Jesus carries his cross. The soldiers took Jesus prisoner, carrying his cross by himself. He went out to a place called Skull Place, which in Aramaic is Golgotha. The Roman techniques of death by crucifixion were notoriously brutal. Beyond the actual excruciating physical pain, the humiliation of bearing the instrument of death through the streets on the way to the execution was meant to prolong and intensify the suffering. Here and now, we find the Jesus who carried the burden of his cross to Golgotha. We remember his earlier words that if we would only come to him, he would carry our burdens.
We pray for all those who carry heavy burdens and ask God to give them rest.
Jesus is helped by Simon of Cyrene. Luke chapter 23, verse 26. As they led Jesus away, they grabbed Simon, a man from Cyrene who was coming in from the countryside. They put the cross on his back and made him carry it behind Jesus. The bravery and compassion of those who rush to help in times of great need is something to experience. First responders, neighbors, friends, and strangers rush to assist in crises in ways that restore our faith in humanity. Here and now, we find the Jesus whose burden was lightened by one who bore the weight of his cross for a while. And we pray for all of those who come to help in time of need, and ask God for the strength to put ourselves in that place whenever we have the opportunity. We give thanks for those who help in time of need.
Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. A huge crowd of people, this is from Luke 23:27-31. A huge crowd of people followed Jesus, including women who were mourning and wailing for him. Jesus turned to the women and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't cry for me. Rather, cry for yourselves and your children. The time will come when they will say, 'Happy are those who are unable to become pregnant, the wombs that never gave birth, and the breasts that never nursed a child.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' If they do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Expressions of grief and mourning are much more demonstrative in some cultures than others. The women whose weeping and wailing accompanied Jesus' march to the cross offered him an opportunity for his own lament and despair. Here and now, we find the Jesus who proclaims his sorrow about the state of the world and its people. We pray for all those humanitarians and activists who walk alongside, keep vigil with, keep proclaiming, and keep before us the suffering of the world. We give thanks for those who keep vigil with the suffering.
Jesus is crucified, Mark 15:22-24. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means skull place. They tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he didn't take it. They crucified him. They divided up his clothes, drawing lots for them to determine who would take what. Roman crucifixion was used as a way of terrorizing the people whose lands they occupied, and was most often the preferred method for making a statement about political insurgents. And so death was not the main goal, but rather prolonged and lingering suffering. Hanging from nails through the hands and feet would ensure a slow death and make sure those who witnessed were frightened and intimidated into submission to the Roman state. Here and now, we find the Jesus whose body was tortured to death and pray for all political prisoners who are unjustly detained, tortured, and murdered for their political stands.
Jesus promises to share his reign with the good thief. You will be with me in paradise. One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus insulted him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him. Don't you fear we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did? But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus replied, I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise. The conversation from the cross between the three persons facing their own deaths ranged from denial to acceptance. We all do this when faced with grief. We want to be saved from the pain. We barter with God. We get angry and vengeful and then accept the inevitable. Here and now we find the Jesus who is with us, no matter who we are or where we are on the journey. We give thanks that Jesus is with us and for the promise of redemption at any moment.
Jesus is on the cross with his mother and disciple below. John 19:25-27. Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood near the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, Here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus knows his absence will be felt by many, but perhaps no greater than the absence his mother will feel. The band of disciples has become family, and this commissioning of his closest disciple to take his place as her son is repeated over and over again throughout humanity when a dying loved one says, Take care of them. Here and now we find the Jesus who loves deeply and invites us to care especially for those who have no family. We give thanks for those who become family in the absence of family. We pray a prayer of thanksgiving for those who have become chosen family to us.
Jesus dies on the cross. From Luke 23:44-46. It was now about noon, and darkness covered the whole earth until about 3 o'clock, while the sun stopped shining. Then the curtain in the sanctuary tore down the middle. Crying out in a loud voice, Jesus said, Abba, into your hands I entrust my life. After he said this, he breathed for the last time. At this moment, we find the Jesus whose final breath was accompanied by the ultimate letting go into God, I give you my spirit. At the time of Jesus, breath was considered to be life and spirit. When someone gives their last breath, we are aware that the life has gone out of the body that was only home to their spirit on this earth. For those that are left behind, it is difficult to accept that all is finished. God's last words in the human form of Jesus were that the spirit was returning to the Creator. We remember and mourn those we have lost. Here and now, we lift up the names of those we have lost and give thanks that God holds them even now.
Jesus is placed in the tomb. Matthew 27:57. That evening, a man named Joseph came. He was a rich man from Arimathea who had become a disciple of Jesus. He came to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate gave him permission to take it. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had carved out of the rock. After he rolled a large stone at the door of the tomb, he went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting in front of the tomb. We rest in the dark night of the soul. If you need the music, turn to page 288. If you just can use the words, they're printed in the bulletin. Were you there? God of suffering, God of sacrificial love, God of redeeming grace, there are no more words, for it is finished. And while we know the rest of the story, we pause this night, tomorrow, and the day after to stay in that abyss where there is no light. We listen for the new Jerusalem to be born in us out of the womb and tomb of darkness. Be with us, we pray, through the night and the letting go. Let us go in God's grace. Amen.